What's happening, family? Welcome back to another episode of Let Us Tell It. I'm one of your hosts, Marcus Tanksley, a.k.a. Tank, and the other host is...
Gooseberry.
How y'all doing?
Hey, put some respect on it. Mm-hmm. Hey, if it's your first time tuning in, we greatly appreciate it. This is a podcast where we just talk about our point of view of the world. You're hearing it from two black men, two black fathers. We have wives, we have kids, we have brothers, mothers, and daddies.
Yeah, sisters.
So, you're hearing it straight from the horse's mouth. We talk about the various things, whether it be relationships. We talk about everything. All right? And you're going to hear it from us. We consider ourselves to be pretty well-rounded.
Yeah, man. I'm very intelligent.
Try to be open-minded.
Yeah, I can hit on all the subjects. Jack of all trades.
You know what I'm talking about? We try to be open-minded, but hey, you're going to get it honest from us.
Yeah.
Anyway, starting off, so we're going to start with the sadder stuff first. We've had in California one of the strictest, or if not the most strict, no, it was one of the most strict states for gun laws in the country. We'll start off with this so we can get that stuff out because it's sad. We've had our second mass shooting of the year already.
Already.
And it truly is sad. I think the most sad part about that is the country's reluctance to do anything about guns.
No.
At this point, I feel like it's probably too late.
It's too late
because you already have so many guns in the hands of people that shouldn't have them. Yep. And there's so many guns. They said, I was reading this one article. It said you have all of these, was that a comedian that was saying that? I don't know who it was. He said you got, in the United States, think of all the car laws, vehicle laws that you have from state to state.
Mm-hmm.
It's laws. You can't do anything in a car that's not either legal or illegal in any state. Mm-hmm. You need a license in each state to drive if you live in there.
Yep.
Throughout the whole country, you got all of these laws about cars, where you can drive, how fast you can drive, how slow you can drive, if you are currently registered for that year. Mm. All of these things. Insurance is mandatory. All of this stuff evolving around cars. You have police specifically just for riding around looking to make sure you're parked in the right space.
Dang,
all because of cars.
Yep.
There are over 200 million cars registered in California. Around about.
Mm-hmm.
Now think about gun laws and how loose they are. There's a car can cause a lot of damage. A gun can cause more.
Yep.
There are over 400 million guns registered in California, in the United States.
Legally?
In the United States, 400 million.
So that's how many they know of that's registered. So just imagine the ones.
Exactly. And think of the laws for cars versus the laws for cars will fill a goddamn phone book.
Oh, yeah.
If you break them down state by state. Laws for guns, it's a pamphlet.
And then in Atlanta, in Georgia, you don't even need a license or a permit now to have a pistol. You can just.
That's like Texas.
You can just have your pistol.
My boy who was a gun instructor in Texas, he was telling me. We talk about guns because I'm into guns.
Yeah.
Like, I don't shy away from it. Everybody knows. But we were sitting there talking, and, you know, we was talking about different calibers and, specific guns. We was thinking about getting or wanted or whatever. And then, you know, he was talking about one that he was talking about getting, and I was just like, no, I take it back. He sent me a picture of one.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, dude, this don't even look legal to, it was a gun part. And I said, that ain't even legal. Like, how is that legal? He said, the dude at the gun store that sold it to me said the same thing. But it's Texas. It don't matter. You can literally go to the parking lot and just trade guns. I imagine you go in to get your teeth done. Doctor just give you an extra AR-15 on the house. Here you go. Take it out of a barrel. Here, take it. Don't tread on me. But that's the gun culture in this country is just absolutely ridiculous.
That's the reason why I say everybody should have a gun is because right now in this environment, everybody has one. Mm-hmm. So you have to give yourself a fighting chance. Yeah. If you want a chance, you know what I'm saying? I feel like everybody should learn how to shoot one, handle one.
Yeah.
That
should be a requirement before buying one, but it
ain't.
There
you go. But if there is a law, I would ban the assault the automatic, the semi-automatic weapons, because those
are fully automatic.
Yeah, fully automatic. Why would you need
one? There's no need.
Unless you're taking over.
A civilian don't need one. The police don't need them.
Yeah.
If the civilians don't have them, the police shouldn't have them either. Simple as that. There's no, you can't hunt with it. Even if you come to the point to where you claim you want to protect your property, a fully automatic weapon is far too much.
Yeah. You send ain't no telling where the bullets is going. That's what I'm saying. You sending straight bullets everywhere.
Everywhere.
Yeah.
And the problem with the people like Biden is quick to throw out a ban, you know, which is on one side I agree with him, but on the other hand, you have people throwing out these laws to ban guns and they're not educated in guns. That's why it's always a loophole.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? He says, you know, we need to ban all assault weapons. Well, what's an assault weapon?
Yeah.
There is no category. A knife can be an assault weapon.
Yeah.
So it's always far too broad. And in California, they restricted, you know, if you have a rifle, you know, if it has a pistol grip, it can't have a, you know, you can't easily drop your magazine. You got to open the action. But then you have companies that manufacture stuff to make that easy.
Yeah.
It's like there's no way around it. And because the, you know, gun lobbyists, whoever, they are in everybody's pockets and it's far too easy. YouTube, this is the thing that pisses me off. Every episode that we upload gets restricted for something. And I always have to challenge it because of something we said. And I imagine it's automated. You know, there's a program that scans the video and listens for certain things. And they'll say, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 restrictions found, whatever. It's very easy. All I got to do is go to the thing, challenge it. And I imagine an actual human will go listen to it and say, okay, this will pass.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
If you go on YouTube and look at a gun video, you are allowed. They have ballistic gel is the soft gel that they'll shoot.
Yep.
And you can see how the bullet travels.
Yeah.
They'll pour ballistic gel on something that looks like a human skeleton and shoot at it to show you the damage.
And fill they it go, with blood.
Fill it with blood. This. Looks like blood. They go buy pork butt, a beef shoulder, whatever kind of meat to simulate human tissue and shoot at it.
Mm-hmm.
And you're allowed to do that on YouTube. But I'm getting restricted for music or something I said.
Yeah.
That ain't got nothing to do with violence. You can literally, when you go watch these videos, all they talk about is, you know, you want this reticle so you can acquire your target. You know, and if you're in the city, you want to acquire your targets fast and you can drop more bodies. I'm like, you are literally talking about shooting people.
Yeah, man.
You ain't going to know. This is all a quote unquote, you know, a scenario, you know, if the country were to fall and, you know, if someone came to invade the country, ain't nobody invading the United States,
man,
except the people that's already here.
It's too late.
It truly is. And you that's why. This pisses me off for real. So I'm into guns and I feel like I need guns.
Yep.
And it ain't because of the Second Amendment and tyranny and the fear of the government coming to do this, that, and the other. No, I have guns because I go to gun stores and I see the other people that's buying guns.
Mm.
Those are the people that I'm worried about. Yep. These people that think that they're going to have to defend their homeland against somebody that's already here.
Yeah.
They are preparing for something that I pray to God never happens.
Yep.
Because they ain't thinking about another country coming in and invading. They're thinking about their neighbor and if they have to invade them, if they have to do something to them. That's who they're worried about.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead. My bad, Goose. I ain't going to cut you off. You see, it's got me hot.
Oh, hell, man. We so far deep into this weapon and gun situation. You can't do anything but arm everybody now.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And the crazy thing about these shootings that happened were done by, I would say, elderly people.
166 and 172, I believe. Let me go back. I believe that was the case.
One was, I know the guy 66, was 67.
Yeah, I think 66, the other one was 72.
And you would think, I mean, at that age, and they're like working regular jobs, they have some type of sanity.
There's the air again, y'all.
Man, I thought. That's some type of sanity. They have some type of sanity. And just to know that these regular adults are now committing mass shootings, that's scary. Like, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying?
66 and 72.
Yeah. So you go to a prime example. We're on tour, right? Mm-hmm. And everybody's coming into the comedy show, and I'm noticing no one's getting patted down.
What city is this?
This was Richmond, Virginia. No one's getting patted down. But then I'm looking at all the people coming in. They're 40, 30. You have some young, like 20-year-olds, but majority of the people are like 35 and up. So you're like, oh, they're not. These folk got some sense about themselves. They ain't about to shoot up a comedy club. But looking at these shootings, anything is possible. Now, for one, if I'm allowed to travel with my pistol or have my pistol, I'm able to probably stop them from getting everybody.
Right.
Or somebody's in the club with one. They're able to. Something can be done. But with these crazy laws, everybody is not allowed to, you know, carry a weapon.
Yeah.
They still haven't legally registered mine because they won't finish my paperwork.
What you brought here?
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's what's weird about California.
But you go down, you know, white folk living in Beverly Hills, they are allowed to.
That's what I was going to say.
They are allowed to carry.
Depending on the county that you are live in, you can get a concealed carry weapons license and carry it in anywhere in California.
Yeah.
So somebody that has a concealed weapons license can come to Los Angeles County and legally carry. But if I live in Los Angeles County, they don't give out CCWs here, concealed weapons license, weapons license, which is absolutely ridiculous. The people that live here can't carry them, but somebody else that lives somewhere else can carry here.
Yeah,
which is absolutely and that's what I meant by the laws are, it's stupid.
Yeah,
the only way to fix it is if they do something radical like they did in Australia. And everybody literally had to like give up and burn their guns. The only guns you have is for hunting, like things that hold like two or three rounds, long rifles. And you don't, I'm gonna look up the gun balance in Australia.
In order to, obviously it would take years upon years, but like the government would have to go to each household one by one and search homes for weapons. Because everybody's not just volunteering, giving their weapon up just because of a law. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You're not. And even if you come search my house.
Yeah. And
it's probably going to be at my partner's house.
Yeah.
Once you leave mine, it's coming back.
No, and that's the thing is, like, even if they do that, who's going to do it first?
Ain't nobody.
The reason I have them is, like I said, I'm in those stores. I'm at the ammo store. I'm at the gun store. I'm at the shooting range. I watch the videos of these people and how crazy they talk.
Yeah.
And y'all, people think I got a lot. No, they have. The fact that you can go on YouTube and look up how to illegally build a legal gun.
And they let it be posted there. Yeah, man. And I put T.I. Song on my video.
No, we got to take that down. You ain't got the rights to that song. Anyway, that's something that had us high. You got these mass shootings, and this is in California. Like I said, the most strict state. And if it happens here, just think of what can happen in other places, and it does happen in other places. Like I said, I get the gun laws. Do I feel like they need to be more strict? Absolutely. However, the people that try to get these bills approved don't fully understand the laws. Like Biden would just say something, and that's why you got the people, the far right and the gun lobbyists and the gun lovers. It's like that don't even make sense. And like, as somebody that's looking at both sides, it don't make sense. They need to do it better. But I say, get you a gun, learn how to use it, do some training, and do whatever you can to legally carry it on you at all times. Go ahead. I was about to move out. Oh, go ahead.
There's also, just thinking about it, how do you prevent? Because I guess you don't know what's going on in somebody's head.
How
do you prevent somebody from snapping like that? Or how do you, like, almost help yourself if somebody does decide to do this?
Yeah. Because it's always
just
random.
The sight of you would probably be like, dang, I should, like, you know how, like, everybody be like, hey, I'm nice to him. Because when he come in shooting,
yeah,
he going to be like, Goose, get on out of here, man. I'm about to tell this. I guess you need, man, be nice to everybody.
Yeah, but the thing is usually a troubled soul. So yeah. Not to just go off the hook.
Yeah.
But you don't know what these people go through, but they go to places and target. It's never, it's rarely at a gun range where everybody got a goddamn gun. They go to shopping malls, they go to these events, dance studios. The farmers, Mark, or the mushroom farm. People doing an honest work living. Living, what is it? Honest day's work.
Yes.
and that's the type of thing you got to worry about.
There's no threat.
There's absolutely no threat whatsoever. Anyway, that's our two cent. We try not to stay on it too long. But kind of on the same subject is,
sorry for everybody that lost their life too.
Yeah, no, definitely praying for those families. It truly is it's sickening, for real. But moving on, LAPD chief bans the use of the Blue Lives Matter flag at their offices and events and everything involved with the LAPD. Or as they don't call the Blue Lives Matter flag, they call the thin blue stripe flag. And one of his reasons being was that the flag has been hijacked by far right and white supremacists. I say it was created by them.
I commend this chief.
Yeah.
I'm surprised that even.
Oh, I'm extremely. Him being in charge, I get him.
That's because wild.
When I see that flag, I don't think, oh, you know, support the fallen of blue. No, because that didn't come out until black and brown people started making a big fuss of all the police brutality. Y'all see all these videos. Hey, Black Lives Matter.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden at the end of the year of Trayvon Martin, at the end of the year, Blue Lives Matter. No.
Yeah.
They've always mattered.
Yep.
But we want ours to matter too.
Yeah. So, what this chief has done, kudos to you.
Yeah.
I appreciate it. That's what you're supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
You
would see the Blue Lives Matter flag, a Confederate flag, and a Trump flag all flying beside each other.
Yeah. That flag is, I didn't notice it now talking to you. It was to combat the blue lives.
That's how
black
I
lives.
See it. Call me wrong if you want.
They start seeing us saying Black Lives Matter, Black Lives Matter.
And it was the flag and it had yellow on it and the black. With Black Lives Matter yellow on it.
They saw us doing our thing. And then, hold up, we matter too. Didn't nobody say you didn't matter.
And you ain't treated like you don't matter.
Exactly. So if you ask me, the flag shouldn't have never been around in the first place. It shouldn't have never been created in the first place because it was to overshadow
If it was there before. Or even years after, I'd have been like, I get it. You know, they want to support. If it was truly to support fallen
officers,
I would be all about it.
Yep.
I got friends that are in the, friends and family in the police, in law enforcement, in a judicial side of things or a justice side, whatever you want to call it. He did that. And of course, it's going to cause a big uproar.
Oh, yeah.
Because to me, it was all the same flag. I think for anybody of color, it was all the same flag.
Yeah.
Confederate, Trump, blue, whatever, it's all one. Even the American flag at this point.
Yep.
You know it wasn't no change of heart. All of a sudden, you see American flag. You saw the because in California, we see it out here too, a Confederate flag, but it got switched over. Don't nobody drive around in no pickup truck with no 50-foot American flag for no reason.
But also, you know it's all about.
And you know you in America.
You know it's all about white supremacy and all this. F the black people is because all those police cars, even though there was Black Lives Matter stickers and flags, the only sticker you saw on those police cars was the police car.
That blue
sticker.
One, that's it.
They didn't represent anybody else.
Not a damn thing.
But police officers.
So, I've seen them wear it on the uniform. I get it. But wear a black patch. That's what usually you wear, a black stripe.
Yep. That's exactly what they wear for their fallen brothers. Yep. But none of them represented Black Lives Matter. None of them said Black Lives Matter. It was just put it on the bumper, put it on the bunt. Then everybody that was, I ain't gonna call you white supremacist, but you weren't rocking with the Black Lives Matter was rocking.
It wasn't saying you wasn't a white supremacist.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
You are until proven not. Woo. With that flag. That's how it looked.
Yeah, kudos to that chief, because when I saw it, I was like,
No, I didn't believe it. I said, this ain't real. I looked up a couple more. I'm like, oh, no, that's for real, for real. So I don't know if they can – I don't know if he's banning it, like, from the vehicles, but it's, like, not going to be in any of the lobbies or anything events that they do or whatever. So,
because what it would do, though, it'll cause them to start being targeted. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
If these white right-winged bigoted folk start just – flaunting these flags around as if that's their organization. Hold up. What you doing over here? Or, right. You know what I'm saying? It's going to cause some tension. Because
you've never seen any support for the police until people started saying, hey, we got people being brutal to us, and they're wearing law enforcement. Well, I support them.
Yeah.
He kicked your ass. Hey, all right, Elroy. He did. Yeah. Come on now. That's that. What was I going to say about that? I ain't got nothing else to say about it.
The flag.
I'm surprised he did it.
Yeah. The flag was not created for just Blue Lives Matter.
It wasn't created to
combat Black Lives Matter.
And that's what they did. They tried to the name, the blue thin blue stripe flag is what they tried. Come on now.
Yeah.
Get that out of here. I'm shocked. I know he's getting a lot of flack forward. Even the people that understand why he did it are disturbed by it.
Oh yeah, I feel like he's putting a fire out before it starts.
Yeah, everybody know Red Cross. What Red Cross stand for? What it mean?
Yep.
If there was a radical organization that started using the same symbol, guess what?
Yeah, I'm getting rid of it.
Yeah, they wouldn't use it no more.
Mm-hmm.
No wonder they gonna get like that with the flag.
If they just start American flag,
a black and Latino gang, nationwide gang, start let the be American flag be their symbol. they would change the flag. Change the flag so quick. wait, we got to move the stars on the other side or something.
They like converted back to the Confederate flag.
Yeah, the one, the 13 colony one.
Dang.
Oh, man.
That'd anyway. That'd be argument, too.
Yeah,
you change the flags, if you got to change it.
You know what I loved? I think somebody posed a question to Stone Cold Steve Austin of what you think about the Confederate flag, thinking he would be in support. He shit all over it.
Oh, man.
Oh, he shit all over it. He said, look, that flag is a symbol of hate, and if you support that flag, then you. Yeah. Like he went out
because
of his image in the world. Everybody's like, oh, yeah, he's a redneck like me. All rednecks ain't racist.
No. They one thing they are is blunt.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to tell you what's on my mind, period.
Oh, you don't like black people? No, nigga, I don't like you. Wow, okay.
The only reason I'm here is because they had free whiskey. Yeah. Damn it. That's why I'm in this interview.
I'm in here, Now, where's it at? All right, what you think about him? Now, Goose, he's all right. But you, that tall one, I don't like him.
Stone Cold Steve Austin. Oh, yeah. God damn it.
Oh, yeah. You know, their heads was exploding like the Dave Chappelle sketch.
I don't even know. The chief of police, is he white, Asian, Hispanic?
The new chief, LAPD? Let's look him up.
That'll be interesting to see. Because I'm...
Like, oh, he's a white dude.
He said it was Michael a complaint. Moore? A complaint.
Yeah,
happened.
Michael Moore. Okay. Oh, he's just, oh no, 40-year veteran. I was like, 40? How he get chief and he's only 40? A 40-year veteran. Oh. I'm sure it was a complaint. Yeah. I feel a certain way when I see that flag. I mean, I feel a certain way when I see police, so it is what it is.
Yeah.
And I ain't doing nothing wrong. So next up, Kanye West. Kanye West ain't talked like he had a lot of sense in a long time. But paparazzi ran up on him and his new fiance or wife. Is he married again?
I don't know.
I don't know. But dude said something about you on your honeymoon. I don't know how real that is.
I think
or
that's
how true
his
that
fiance,
is.
But they could have got married. Yep.
Oh, anyway, Kanye West checked the dude. I ain't going to go too far into that whole thing. I'm just going to take my stance on how I feel about him checking the dude. I'm glad he did.
Oh, yeah.
I was contracted, as a lot of y'all know, at LAX, the airport, and there's literally paparazzi at the airport at Delta and American Terminal all day, every day, posted up with cameras, waiting on famous people to step out of the airport or out off their flight, grab their bags. I think it should be illegal. It's an invasion of privacy. It's dangerous. It's threatening. If I get to the point to where that many people want to take a picture of me, they're not going to want to approach me because enough situations will happen where they will know to keep a distance from me.
Yeah, but being famous, this comes with the game.
It does. Now,
You can't stop people from eating. Now, these guys take these pictures and sell them. Make a living off of it. So, shoot, you got people out here risking their lives every day for a dollar. So if I can just sit up and take a picture of you and then get a video of you acting out a character, shit, I'm about to be at that airport, chips, whatever, chilling, soda. Oh, there you go. What's up, partner, with your newborn baby and everything? Clip, 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 and just wait for you to do something stupid. That's what they do. Now, one thing I can say, I haven't seen, you can correct me if I'm wrong, I haven't seen black guys being paparazzi like that. If you've seen it, let me know. I haven't seen it, but to me, sometimes the type of person you are, would dictate on how you like privacy. Like, I wouldn't ever do that. Mm-hmm. Even if, like right now, my wife ain't got no job. I wouldn't go out there.
I can't stand you.
I wouldn't go out there and do a paparazzi thing.
Actually, she does.
For extra. She does. She's a podcast.
I was going to say. And,
digital content creator now. I wouldn't do that because of my moral compass. Some of these people just ain't got a moral compass on respect. But if you aren't, that's confusing too, though. It's because it's an honest living. Because if the person say, okay, it's an honest living, you want to keep me from doing the honest living? Okay, well, in turn, when I see the famous person, I just follow them and rob them. How about that? You prefer me to do that? Like, I'm going to just take your picture, man. Just let me take your picture and get my few dollars and get the hell on. Where and how they do it is disrespectful. You in the back of a parking lot in the dark. I pull up. I'm about to get in my car. You come out of nowhere. Hey. Mm-hmm. And you bound to get shot, stabbed, or whatever else I got on me. I'm with my kids. Now you frightening my children. You know, in that aspect, okay. But you out in the open, you free game, man.
So what I was going to say, do you think there should be a distance requirement?
I honestly,
like if you put out some photos, and if we can tell that you were within 15 feet of this person, you can get fined.
Yes.
Because I get people taking, fans will take pictures.
Yep.
I'm perfectly fine with that. Not that I got fans. But if I'm a celebrity, if I'm famous, I walk through, I see people taking pictures, granted, I imagine it would get annoying. That's a little less offensive than people running up in your face. Like you, the reason I was looking at my phone, you said you haven't seen any black ones, and I was thinking back. Do you remember what was it, last year, year before, where Tom Hanks had to run up on the paparazzi? They was walking through the airport or something, and black dude was like paparazzi all up in his wife's face and like bumped her, and Tom Hanks turned around, like pushed everybody back, like back up.
Dang.
This, we just trying to walk here. Let us walk.
Yeah. I didn't remember.
That's why I was like, I think that was a black dude. Mm. But like those situations like that, like you trying to run up and ask questions and stuff. If you want, ask it from a distance.
Yeah.
And that's what I mean. Like there would be enough situations to where they would know, let's just go on, keep my distance from him.
Yeah. Go ahead.
No, go.
You're correct. I can, everything I said, yes. Bro, you shouldn't be able to touch me. I shouldn't be able to touch you. You should keep your distance. Yeah, your camera can zoom in.
Yeah, you should have to raise your voice to talk to me.
Yes.
Like it's that, and that's what I mean by an invasion of pride. Like, this is my personal space.
Yeah.
You should not be able to run up on, like, in at the airport, these people, you see it all the time. People, paparazzi taking pictures and stuff. People just trying to get in their car and can't even, like, close the door. Like, put the umbrella down or something. It's like, for me, I'm like, I get where Kanye's coming from, and I'm glad that he went on that whole rant and checked the dude, even though the dude seemed like he was a pretty good distance away. But it's just like, take the picture and walk off. You wouldn't have got none of that. But you trying to get a story and a conversation all of that. And I'm like, you know who's approachable. You know Kanye's not approachable. The Rock, he'll talk to you all day.
Yeah. It's Kanye, man. You got to get him acting up. And like you said, Kanye, he said, I'm sorry, and I'm going to give you your space. Right then, he could have just put his camera down and walked off.
Yeah, but now, you here now.
He want to keep talking to him. You in the
Lions den. Let's keep going.
Kanye was up there venting to this man. Yeah.
He was dropping facts, though. He was like, you out here, you making money. Am I going to see any of it? Am I going to see royalty? Ain't no telling how many. You know what I'm saying? If it's a slip up, you know, the Jay-Z and Solange video, the elevator video. All right. Woo. Didn't nobody even know a camera was up. Well, they may have knew, but hey, it happened. Mm. You lucked up, got that video, so be it. Mm. But if I'm, like you said, wife and kids, you know, you've heard Dave Chappelle talk about it. People run up on him.
Mm-hmm.
In one of his stand-ups, he was talking about, you know, I'm Rick James. Mm. And he's right there with his fam. It's like, man, give people, granted, that was just a fan that wasn't paparazzi, but fans of paparazzi is two different things. These paparazzi is doing this for a living. They're doing this, you know, to get money off of it, but give people the respect and the space for privacy.
Yeah. Because you wouldn't approach a stranger that way. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Yeah. There was a video.
You're going to sue me because I'm snatching cameras and throwing them.
There's a video of Mike Epps in the grocery store, in the grocery line. And this guy just full-fledged video, walks right up to him. What's up, man? Daps him up. What's up, little Duval?
I seen that.
He called little Duval. And Mike was like, boy, my kids weren't with me, man. I know, whoop your blah, blah, blah. But even.
Was he joking with him?
He was joking with him.
Okay, all right. I was like, it was a while ago. I remember that.
But even having the balls to do that.
And physically touch somebody like that.
I couldn't do that. I would have had to lock eyes with this man and been like, been at a distance. What's up, Duval? And then see his reaction to see if I could come close.
Right.
But to your point, yes, there should be a restriction on distance. I am still, but I do believe this is a profession.
Yeah.
And this is the way they eating. And, unfortunately, people have given them an inch and they've just taken it everywhere, following people into the bathrooms. Yeah. Like Eminem was like, he was in there using the restroom. They trying to have a conversation with him. I've seen this happen on Ventura. Somebody famous, they were eating outside and, you know, you walking down the sidewalk. Shoot, you just step over the little gate and now you're in the eating area.
Right.
This famous person was eating. Dude stopped right there and just had the picture above his plate of food and whoever he was sitting with.
Damn.
Snip, snip. He kept walking. I'm like, that would irritate.
Yeah. It irritates me, and it's not even me. It's happening to.
I would have snatched that phone and tossed it.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Ah, man, I hate it for y'all, man. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's the thing is, like, when I was at the airport, like, I would see these dudes. Like, we'd be walking through, going to from project to project, and I see these dudes. They sitting in there just eating their lunch. Camera, big massive lens draped around their neck. Mm-hmm. And I remember one of the officers up there, me and him, we was just talking, chit-chatting one day, and I was just like, that's not illegal. Like, y'all don't try to keep these dudes out of it. He was like, nah, he said, this is a public space. He said, I wish we could do something about it. He said that, and the technically, because it's a public space, that's why you be seeing homeless people in airports, because it's no different from the sidewalk. They can't technically make them leave. He was just like that. He said, yeah, I wish we could, but nah. He said, these guys, they know they get flights. They know when people's flying in. And they show up, and I'm like, God dang.
Now, see, that's where it's crazy.
They researching it. It's stalking.
Yeah. Like, how do you figure that out?
I don't know.
You know that?
I don't know what flight Angel's on unless she tell me.
That's what I'm saying. How do you? Well, you know what? One time, and this was for Kev, we took a red eye somewhere, and there was two fans down by the luggage just sitting. And when we showed up, they were like, man, we knew the only flight coming from L.A., it had to, you either had to stop in Atlanta or stop in Texas, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Either or. And we were thinking it got to be Atlanta. Obviously, they lived in Atlanta. So you have to be coming in at this time, because the flights that we saw,
uh-huh,
and they narrowed it down. And sure
that's
enough,
crazy. And they know what airline he probably going to take.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
He ain't taking Spirit.
Yeah, no.
Now, that's – and just imagine, like, somebody of that caliber, of not bigger caliber, like A-list name.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody knows them, how difficult it is. I couldn't imagine.
Yeah, you probably stand inside all the time, depending on, like you said, who you are and if you have children.
Mm-hmm.
Because – man, dang, you don't know if somebody's going to harm you.
Right. I was in the air. I was in flying through Texas one time, I think Dallas, and I seen Charles Barkley sitting at the bar.
Mm-hmm.
I had a long layover, so I was like, I'm going to go over here and grab something to eat at this. I don't know where the restaurant it was. And I look. Actually, I was going to order my food.
Mm-hmm.
And I look as I'm walking up, and I was like, who's this tall ass dude? Like, you know, the bar stools, you got to get up and your feet dangle. He was sitting on the stool like it was a regular.
Oh, I already know.
That's how tall he is. Big. Anyway, he's sitting there, and I was going up, and I was about to order, and I see it's him. And first I was like, this big-ass dude over here taking up. I'm just going to order over here on the corner from the side. And I was going to order. I see it's him. I was like, oh, excuse me, sir. He was like, oh, it's okay. And I went around just to give him his privacy because I saw who it was. And I'm like, as bad as I wanted to say something to him, because I'm a big Charles Barkley fan, I was like, this man just sitting there trying to eat his food. I'm not going to do that.
Yeah.
I did tell him I have a good flight when I was leaving, but I ain't say nothing else to him. You know what I'm saying? Because I was like, I realized why he was sitting on the corner, because nobody could sit over there. And I went over there because I just wanted to order food. So I didn't realize that until I got there. I was like, oh, he's sitting over here. He's right here because can't nobody sit beside him. So I was like, oh, excuse me. So he was like, oh, it's okay. He probably would have talked to him. He probably would have had a good conversation. But I wanted to give him that privacy.
Because you have a moral compass. This a fan with Kev and Melissa, and when Kev's brother passed, they in the airport. A lady was like, she knew.
What just happened?
What just happened? And said, I'm sorry for your brother, but can I have a picture?
No. That's what I was saying for him.
So, okay, let me, me saying that out loud. Yeah, man. Paparazzi, that shouldn't even be a thing, man. That's because just that by itself.
Yeah. If it was a distance route, well, that's a fan, though. That's different.
But what I'm saying is that fan could have been paparazzi.
Uh-huh.
Kev and Melissa going through.
What are you going through? Click.
Not even asking them, but just in their face during that part of, in their time, in their life.
Yeah.
That's so disrespectful.
Imagine if he was Eddie Murphy.
Yeah, man.
Same situation. It would have been a thousand people.
Knew, yeah.
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 Or when he went through it, when Eddie Murphy went through it.
Sure enough. He damn sure enough did. So, yeah. Yeah, man.
I just think it should be a distance. Like I said, I get it being a celebrity, people wanting to get to know him. But the paparazzi thing in itself, that alone, I ain't talking about fans. I'm talking about paparazzi, people getting paid to take pictures. There should be a distance law.
Yeah.
Like,
if it's going to be legal to do it, you have to be.
Yeah.
You have to be out of the way. I shouldn't have to move around you to get to where I need to be.
Yeah, they be blocking paths. That's considered sexual harassment in the workplace. You blocking somebody's path.
It goes down to that moral compass. Yeah. Like, let me get out your way. Like, what the hell?
Yeah. Moving on.
Yeah.
Couples therapy. These crazy people. Y'all ain't think we was going to talk about it, did you? Mm-hmm. Well, you're going to see because we're going to put it in the description. But we're just going to start. What's that dude's name? I wrote Dickhead and Wife.
Mayu
and Dickhead.
Yeah.
So they finally broke down his addiction to sex.
Oh, yeah.
He's got a sex addiction. They didn't call it a sex addiction, but it's sex. He basically claims it has a high sex drive. It's an addiction because he wants it three times a day, every single day.
Yep.
At least.
And if you don't want to have sex, something must be wrong with you.
Yeah, you clearly have something wrong with you, means you're unhappy. Something's wrong with you mentally or whatever it may be.
Mm-hmm.
He did state that he believes that she stated that she should be happy because he gives her everything she wants.
Oh, I missed
it. She said that she said something along the lines of, he thinks I should be happy because he gives me everything.
Mm.
I don't know if it was quote unquote everything that she wants, but he gives me everything. So I should be happy and I should just be wanting to do whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the problem with him of many. If she don't want to have sex all the time, maybe you're not good at it.
Ooh.
If she were to stop and say that to this punk ass, you want to have it all the time because apparently I'm good, but you're not.
The therapist should be like, well, is he good every time?
The therapist don't even have patience for this dude.
She don't.
She was sitting in her therapy session talking about, I can't deal with him.
Yes.
Like, because she wants to tell old girl, leave. I don't understand how she could still be in a predicament like this. How anybody could still be in a predicament like this, but come on. Yeah. You just want to tell people that's going through stuff like this, like, why are you still here?
Yeah. Yeah. That dude, I'm stuck on that. You want to do it all the time, but did you even? Yeah. Are you?
Because it's
you
good for you. At? It's good for you. It ain't good for me.
And that's what I be saying, watching the Love Hour all those years,
uh-huh.
That fact of, 80 or 90% of women don't climax every time they have sex with their partner or whatever. And it's like, well, dang. As soon as I heard that, I went to my wife. Look, if you're not enjoying it, let me know what's happening so I can make some adjustments.
Absolutely.
Because
that's one thing. We've always been open.
Yeah, because I think men want to do it all the time because we know. What's the ending result?
Absolutely.
You know you about to bust.
And that's one thing he said is he said he was wildly attracted to her. That's why he always wants to do it. Like, he's extremely attracted to her. I don't know if he said in the beginning or whatever it was, but that's one of his reasons. But
to
Greg's point, it's like men, real ones. All right, I'm going to say real ones. I ain't going to say all men, but us real ones. We aim to please because we know, like he said, what we going to get out of it. If Angel ain't enjoying it, I don't want to do it.
Yep.
At all. If I know that she can't mentally get there, if I can't help her mentally get there, I ain't going to lie, I'm still going to want to do it. But I ain't going to enjoy it as much.
Look at my note.
What's that? Yes, we care. Men care. That's what he said. We care if
about
women orgasm.
Orgasms. Yes.
Yes.
We would rather get y'all out the way. If my wife say, hey, I don't want no more. Just eat me up every night and then have your way. I'll be.
Greg's mouth will be, Greg's face will be wrinkled in here. He get my, he'd be five shades lighter.
My beard would be down to my ankles. All that fertilizer.
You have to throw it over your shoulders.
Why your beard grow so long? I got some good fertilizer. Hey, yeah, got that boy. Fertilizer yeah. in there. Keep it very moisturized.
No, I don't, of my boys that I've talked about this with, we like, it's like walking into a building. We want you to go first.
Yep. Every.
As many times, I want Angel to get there as many times as I can possibly get her there before. Because yes. I'm on cue. You can, now, I can let it go.
Yep. It happens all the time with me.
Yeah, matter of fact, most of the time I'm holding back, making sure she gets there a couple times before
what
I get there.
What gets me?
You already you said it.
Let Mel say, oh, right there, right. Oh, man. I'm like, don't shut up. You know, don't you say nothing. Else.
The worst thing Angel can say to me is, don't stop. Damn it.
Nah. I'd be like, oh, dang, baby. It's, yeah.
I don't care how, cause I call it in it to win it when you know it's like marathon. You know, oh, I'm yeah. like, oh, yeah, this is going to be, this get comfortable. This is going to be a good session mm-hmm. right here. All you got to do, don't stop.
Yep.
Shit. Well, you just.
I got to start having those sound cancellating, noise canceling headphones on, letting them just moan and scream all they want. I can't hear nothing.
I can't hear nothing.
And I'm just.
Yeah. Nah, that's. Hold on, one goose.
Can't hear nothing. Is she
Man,
going
if y'all
crazy?
Listen to this, you should be watching.
Cause as soon as I hear something like anything, it's, it just be like whoop.
Yeah,
it'd be crazy.
Nah, I'll name the communication from like 1, 2, and 3. We not at a 3. It ain't a whole bunch of talking and doing all that. We like at a 2, but the right thing said, it's gonna end that thing.
Yeah, it's gonna be.
But yeah, ladies. Well, and actually, I was talking to Angel and her homegirls one time, and they were saying that sometimes they don't need to. They don't need to. They were saying that they know plenty of women that don't absolutely need to, as long as it's good in the moment. I don't want one of those women. I want Angel.
Yeah,
it's like if there's a session where she didn't get there, well, let's go back in because I got to get you there. The bus gonna leave. That's how a man be thinking. If he's not getting you there, have that conversation.
And the man wants to have that conversation. As much as you think it's going to hurt his feelings, no. He's going to be so curious about like, everything.
What can I?
Because women, you know, y'all would sit there and lie to the man because you don't want to hurt his feelings. And this would go on for years.
Yeah, years.
And the man would be thinking he's doing the, I lay it down.
Yeah.
No.
10, 15 years in, he realized did nothing.
Stop it. Baby, I like it like this. I like it like that. You might need to go buy this toy because you ain't working with, you know.
Yeah, whatever. It's
you
like,
might need something else. Let him know. And I guarantee you, he's going to say, yes, ma'am.
Yeah,
I'm about to do it.
Yeah, now depending on who he is, you might have to approach it a little different. But definitely try to open up that dialogue of open it up with him. What do you like? You know what I'm saying? If you're struggling with that, ask him what he likes. Get descriptive. Get descriptive about it. Find out what he like. And then right after he finished saying all that, well, this is what I would like.
Okay, you can go that route.
Because if you walk up in there and talking about the look, baby, you ain't getting me there. It's like that, man. That's why we should get rid of Gun, because he's going to commit suicide.
Oh, man. That man. No. Hey.
No, however you can, open up that dialogue about that. But, yeah, that dude's an asshole. We're going to move on to Evelyn and Allen. No, that's Deshaun and them. I won't get to. But Evelyn and Allen, what did I say about them? Oh, this is the one that he thinks she should just trust him because he ain't never cheated. That's the dude I said, unless you prove otherwise, she has no reason to believe that you're not cheating.
Yeah.
That's the one that goes out, just disappears, don't answer no phone calls, don't call her, disappears for hours and hours at a time, hangs out with his lady co-workers and stuff, and he wants her to trust him that he ain't cheating. Like, and why would she believe that?
Yeah.
She should leave for real, for real.
Yeah. In this episode, he basically said, you need to be comfortable with me meeting new people.
Yeah.
What?
That's what he said.
Who does that? Who does that as a husband and wife? How do you, how are you married and you're venturing off to meet new people and you're not, that's not your lifestyle. I can see if you had an open marriage, which you probably do, and your wife don't know about it.
Right, yeah, that was an open marriage.
You know what I'm saying?
It was absolutely open marriage.
But, hey, be comfortable with me meeting new people and not wanting, and they both expressed they don't like doing things with each other.
Yeah, and that's the one that the therapist says she lost patience for.
Oh, yeah.
It wasn't the first dude. Yeah,
because he never... She asks him questions and he never answers.
He never
them right on.
Him and the asshole, they never answer questions.
Yeah,
they never answer the question. They just open it up with another statement.
Yeah, and then she asked Alan. She asked Alan, "Well, speak the truth." And
your truth.
Yep.
Yeah,
and she has to handle your truth, and he's like, well, if I speak the truth, then that's going to open up a whole nother door, and then we're going to argue this.
He kept saying how she should feel.
Yeah.
That's one thing I remember. Yeah.
So the lady's like, that's not on you to decide how she's going to react to it.
Right.
You just need to say it, and then she has to process it. And he won't commit to speaking his 100% truth.
Mm-hmm.
And I bet you that 100% truth is like, look, I like other women. That's just what it is. And you should probably be
He definitely sleeping around on her.
Yeah.
She need to tell him kick rocks.
Yeah.
I don't know if they got kids or not, but she need to deuces and go meet us a bunch of people
real easily. And she's an attractive female too.
Yeah.
And I don't know why she
what she sees in him. Elaine and Deshaun, they got issues.
That's
she brought in, oh, go ahead, what was you gonna say?
That's the black couple.
Yeah, the black couple. She has a lot of trauma. She has childhood trauma.
Mm-hmm.
She has a relationship that she was getting abused.
Mm-hmm.
So she was saying that she don't like, there's no reason to drink.
Yep.
She was saying, there's no reason to drink. You are, people become somebody else. I don't want to be in a group where people drink or where they want me to drink, because that means they don't like me for me. And as she's saying all that, he was like, well, you actually drank more than me because you drank a glass of wine every night. I was like, what? But she's bringing in her past trauma to this relationship because her parents were on drugs.
Yep.
She saw them abusing each other, doing whatever. Then she was in an abusive relationship where the dude would get drunk and beat her.
Mm-hmm.
And she threatened him with a baseball bat because she was going to whoop his ass one night.
Yep.
And then she's like, you know, she woke up to a punch in the face.
Yep.
And she looked over and saw her son crawling toward them, and she was getting punched in the face. So that night she packed her bags and left. Never went back. So her current husband, Deshaun, apparently he don't drink that much, but when he does, he gets drunk.
Yeah.
But I wanted to be like, does he get abusive?
Obviously he doesn't.
Right.
Because who she is.
Right.
She's been married to this man for 11 years.
Yeah. But they don't hang out anymore. They don't do anything anymore.
They don't do nothing with nobody because of her.
Right.
Yeah. Because she feels, like you said, everybody's out to one get her, or they're not liking me for me because they're drinking, so they're not who they are really. So they're putting on a mask in front of us, such a
hypocritical statement. If you drinking wine every night. To say you polishing off a bottle or two, but liquor's liquor, alcohol's alcohol. Like, it don't matter.
I don't want to take away from her trauma.
No, definitely not.
Okay, so
no.
Her trauma is real, and I understand trauma and holding on to things that have happened to you, and that you know what can come of certain situations.
Because she was saying he'll drive.
Yes.
Which is, yeah.
But to be married for 11 years, you know this person, good and bad.
Mm-hmm.
So you know how he is when he's drunk. You know how he is when he's not. You know how he is when he's tipsy. You know, I can look at my wife or just the way she say one word and I'm like, no more.
Mm-hmm.
You there.
Yeah.
I know it.
Yeah, you was already there, but now you there. Yeah.
So you know how this is. And all she has to do with all that energy she has, monitor that.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, all right. I see you. And what if he crosses that line, or if he does something that doesn't show that he's respecting that, then I can see you locking it down. Like,
right.
Hell no.
Yeah. Because
you did this, you did that, blase, blase. And what's so crazy is if he gets drunk, and you know he's going to get drunk, baby, we can go out. I'm driving, though. I'm the designated driver. You make sure you have the keys. Mm-hmm. Don't even put yourself in a situation to where you got to ask him for the keys.
Yeah.
You keep the keys on you.
Right.
Period.
So I would not, like I said, we're not discrediting the trauma that she's been through.
Mm-hmm.
But I was, it is hypocritical, the fact that she has a glass of wine. Granted, she may look at wine and whiskey as two different things. That might be her trigger. Like, I don't want to smell it. I don't want to be around it because I have bad memories of it. That's something else she's going to have to work out.
Yeah.
But what I thought was interesting is her saying, the therapist telling her that her life was in danger.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, no, it wasn't.
Yep.
She was like, yes, your life was in danger. She was like, no, my life was never, I never feel like I was in any danger. This man is beating you out of your sleep.
Yep.
And you don't think that could escalate to something bigger, especially if you're going to fight back?
Mm-hmm.
You were going to fight back with a baseball bat. What if he would have snatched that baseball bat out of your hand and smacked you across the face with it? That might have been your last slap that you got.
And she said she saw herself. She was looking down on her body. She was looking down on herself looking at her child. So she had like an outer body experience. Mm-hmm. So you might have been unconscious at that point.
So I found it, and she refused to believe that she was in any danger.
Yeah.
But then she tells her husband, I'm saving your life.
Yep.
She said, no, I'm saving his life because he gets reckless. I mean, because it can be reckless.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he will take the keys. I'm saving your life. But you weren't in any danger back when you was getting beat in the face and beat out of your sleep. That's why I'm like, all right, this lady, you got some things going on in your head that I like. And what I liked what the therapist did, she was like, so what do you find bad about drinking? She was like, because it's just so unnecessary. She was like, why? She was like, because you just do things you shouldn't. Why? Like, she made her narrow it all the way down. She was like, to cheating. She said, okay. That's your fear.
Yep.
She's like, in recklessness. Okay. So she made her get it down to specifics and not just, oh, alcohol is bad. Why is it bad? Because you have a fear of your husband cheating or getting into a car accident. Talk about that.
Yeah.
And not just throwing out broad, just it's this.
Yeah.
And it was dope. I saw what she was doing. I was like, oh, I see where she's going with this.
Mm.
It's interesting to watch these therapists work.
Yeah. But, and then she said, it's interesting because you're not in control. It's hard for you to give him control. And she was like, because you've been in control of your life this whole time.
Yeah.
Now you're with this man, and it's hard for you to let him lead. And you could see that in this lady. She doesn't want you to tell her anything about her.
Yes. That's a fact. So nothing. The one thing that she gets mad because he can't give her enough energy, attention.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what they do, it's never going to be enough for her. He said, we could go out every single night for 6 nights straight. On the seventh night, if he don't feel like doing anything, all that previous is erased.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you want to spend time with me? And that's that control thing. It's just like, I am tired. So she's like, oh, we haven't been out since, you know, 4th of July, whenever it was. But he was like, so let's talk about all the times before that. Like the reason, and he said the reason that he avoids her is because he doesn't want to enable that energy and what she brings to the relationship is angry. He says she's always angry and always yelling. He's a very calm, laid back person. So he avoids it because he's like, I don't want to have to deal with her yelling and being unhappy and screaming and being mad. He's like, so I avoid it. So she sees it as him punishing her. And the therapist was like, so after he explained, like, I don't want to reward that energy because it is no matter what I do, it's not going to be enough. So I avoid those situations so it doesn't become this big thing. And then the therapist was like, so what do you think? Well, he just said, and she went on this whole thing. And the therapist was like, that's not what he just said. That's what I heard. She said, yes, but that's the bad part. That's not what he said.
Yeah.
And that's why therapy is important.
Yeah.
Because you can go to mail and say something. Regardless of what you said, she's going to take it how she's going to take it.
She's going to hear something completely
different. That's why that third person is a huge benefit.
Yeah.
The right third person. Don't be going to y'all's friends and stuff. The right third person can come from a neutral standpoint. It was like, that's not what he's saying.
Yeah.
He's saying this, but she still didn't want to hear it.
He seems so cool and calm.
Yeah.
That's probably why he get drunk when he start drinking.
That's what I was going to say to girls.
She probably be like,
he wants to drink. Forget where I'm at.
Yeah.
And then we got, look, I had to go back through I ain't been in the comments for a real long time. It's been, hell, I don't know. I can't remember the last time I went comment. So I had to go for this episode. This episode, because I wanted to see y'all's thoughts about the show and everything, and I appreciate y'all. A few people reached out and saw us struggling with the trans man, trans woman thing. And yes, I didn't know what it was at the time. That's why I put the subtitles. It wasn't that I was uncomfortable. I just didn't know what to call these people because I didn't want to offend nobody.
Yep.
But the most hilarious part about that is if you watched, you saw us say trans man, and I should have said it, referring to Lauren as a trans woman.
Trans woman.
So I put those subtitles up in the video. In the audio, of course, you can't use subtitles because people are listening. They're not watching. So I had to go record over that. And the edit sounds absolutely stupid because I'm saying trans woman, but it doesn't match my voice. And yes, I had to do it for his too. Because Goose is talking. He's like, Lauren, the trans woman. Anyway, I did my best. I'm still doing my best trying to get these people. I'm just trying to call people what they want to be called. So Lauren and Sarah. Huh?
I'm saying yes.
Oh, so yeah.
You see us trying.
Yeah. Okay?
All right.
I never said I was an expert at any of this. I struggle. Hold on. Let's go back real quick to Elaine and Deshaun. When did you start laughing when she asked him, when the therapist was like, so why don't you spend more time with her? And he just busted out laughing.
Oh no, I didn't.
She said something like, so what are we gonna do to spend more time together? He busted out laughing,
dude,
which
is
made
funny.
Me laugh.
Yes, dude is funny, man. I'm telling you,
I was
you.
Like, oh, where this is about to go. But then after he explained himself of why that is like not possible because he can't do anything to make her happy. But anyway, I started laughing. I was like, I wonder if Goose laughed at this. Anyway, so Lauren and Sarah, they got into a fight over these pillows, which might seem small, but small things can become big things when you in a relationship and a marriage.
I didn't see this one. Was this episode three?
Three.
Okay.
So Lauren
got
likes
her
to
side
cuddle
of the pillow, right?
Yeah, yeah. Lauren likes to cuddle. Sarah's okay. Like, give me some space.
Mm-hmm.
Was that how it went?
I think
Sarah flipped. Sarah wants to cuddle, and Lauren I can't remember.
Sarah was already in the bed. Lauren got in
and wanted to cuddle.
Wanted to cuddle.
Oh, okay.
Wanted to take her, take up her space.
Yeah.
And they got in, got into it.
Anyway, introducing this this argument that they had was fucking hilarious to me.
What?
Because this is something so small can get so big. Granted that it went bigger because this goes out, this particular situation kind of follows them in their relationship. Like one wanting to be closer than the other. The other one's like, I need space. The other one's like, it's too much space between us. Both physically and mentally, it's like, no, we need to get closer. But just the pillow scenario in itself, I thought was a look, I watch couples argue all the time. And sometimes stuff that me and Angel argue about, people will find hilarious.
Yeah.
The next time I walk in that damn bathroom and see the toilet paper roll, a full one sitting on top of an empty one and she just didn't replace it, we might get a divorce. I told her this shit.
That's me. They'll be getting mad. I'm like, man, it's just.
I said, Angel, if I find the right attorney,
yeah,
the next time I see this shit. But that would be like, why don't you do it? Don't worry about it. It's there. You can use it. I shouldn't have. If somebody heard that, even though we ain't for real mad, but if somebody heard that, they would be laughing at us.
Yeah.
It'd be the small things. Hearing about the pillows at first was like, oh, this is hilarious. But then realizing that it's a much bigger issue. But just that little segment, I was laughing.
They say when you start arguing, really arguing over those small things, there's something way bigger in the background.
Oh, yeah.
That's irritating.
Yeah, oh, no. Like the paper towel thing, that definitely goes with our personalities.
Yeah.
The toilet tissue thing, that goes with like me being, some can call it, I'm anal when it comes to my space. Like this is usually here. If it's back here, that's gonna bother me. I gotta move it back. And I know I'm anal like that, so I give her grace. And then, you know, she knows how I am, so she gives me grace too. So it's like give and take. But that little, somebody hearing that could be like, but Tank, why don't you just take the thing off, put it on? It ain't that simple.
Yeah, man.
You know what I'm saying? Because if it was me, why don't you respect me enough to do this? Because you know I don't like it. Yeah, I said if I start leaving the toilet seat up, in spite, because I naturally put it down.
That's what I would. Why is the toilet seat down? Why, when women finish using the toilet, why don't they ever lift it up?
No.
Because we're coming behind you.
Yeah.
Why don't you lift it up to be courtesy?
Be courteous to me,
courteous
because
to us.
Yeah, she got a little bladder. You always go first. Yeah. After I'm ready, lift it up.
Lift it up. Why isn't that a thing?
Why ain't it? Ladies, why don't y'all lift up the toilet seat when y'all done?
Come on now. I know the toilet. We're
going to lose all these.
Yeah, I know. They about delete.
Unsubscribe.
Okay, I'm about to lift the toilet seat up on both of y'all. We'll edit this out.
Y'all, we joking. No, we're going to leave it in. But yeah, like you said, those little things, something like that, something that small of you taking my pillow and being on my side can turn into or can reflect something much bigger than just the pillow thing.
Yeah.
Because it was like, you always do this. This is, and then they started explaining the situation. It's like, yeah, that's real.
I saw a short of that, but I didn't see the entire argument.
Mm-hmm.
So it was basically just one taking up space from the other.
And then, so the thing is Lauren was the breadwinner for the longest. So Sarah believes Lauren sees her as insignificant.
Oh, damn.
That's to sum it up. This is like, you're selfish and self-centered and you think I should be the one to basically fall at your feet. Like, she was like, she expects me to get up before her and fix breakfast and coffee so she can get up, get ready, and just leave out. And then come home and expect everything to be done. So she feels like, all right, so what am I to you if I'm not just a servant and somebody that's replaceable? Sum it up. That's her side of the story. Mm-hmm. Lauren had other things to say, but that's the notes I wrote down. So
I honestly think in those type of situations, if this is the fact of the matter, if she's not working.
Oh, but now I know what you're going to say.
Okay.
But she said, however, when I am working. She did switch it up. She was like, you would still expect the same things.
Oh, okay. Well,
so that's what, and then I think Lauren was like, nope, that's not true. They started kind of going back and forth. So the therapist was like, hey, all right, now hold on.
Yeah.
but I'm not saying that's the whole, but that was like the current, like, okay, this is how I'm feeling. Like, I feel like you don't, basically not respect, but you don't see my value. But yeah, so.
But see, that's a internal, that sounds like she has this belief and Lauren hasn't verbally said that.
Right. Oh yeah, yeah. No, she's, this is interpretation
just,
yeah, of.
She's just believing that.
She's interpreting what she sees and how she feels.
Yeah.
And how that's making her feel of what she sees or whatever.
Because I can be honest with you. When Mel started making more money than me and I was doing, taking care, when we first had McKinley, shoot, I was taking care of the baby. I was doing everything. Yeah. But I felt like, shoot, that was my way of supporting the family as she goes out. Now, what happened was, I did start feeling like, man, I ain't contributing. You know what I'm saying? So I eventually just went and got a job so we could put the baby in daycare. And that wouldn't happen. But I can see how she felt that way. Mm-hmm.
No, I, especially like retiring from my, you know, regular 9-to-5 and then stepping out to basically, you know, it was stepping away to, for me and Angel to create more content.
Mm-hmm.
So I was, you know, it was still income coming from that, but not bringing in my solo income like I was.
Mm-hmm.
Me having, I can call it ego, of not carrying the family's insurance on my shoulders no more and not doing this and not having that safety net of, babe, you can go do what you want.
Mm-hmm.
You can succeed. You can fail. I got us.
Yep.
Not having that no more. Having that, and, you know, stepping away is like, dang, all I'm doing is, you know, taking care of these kids, doing this, and that. And I'm still doing podcasts and that stuff, but I ain't me no more. But at the same time, it's just like, she wouldn't be able to do what she's doing if I wasn't doing what I was doing.
Yep. And that's
it's the same thing, like having the 9-to-5.
Yep.
She wouldn't be able to do what she was doing if I wasn't doing what I was doing. Exactly. And now me being not having my 9-to-5, it went the same way. I had to be there more because, you know, my job would take me away. I would be at home and see my family all of maybe 3-4 hours a day, if that. And now me being home is enabling her to do more. And I mean, it was enabling me to do more, like, you know, more income too, but not being able to recognize that as all income, because I was new. I'm still new to it. New to this whole, you know, content creator thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
We good with that?
We good.
All right. Hey,
we
hopefully
good.
Y'all enjoyed it. I know we were a little political earlier, but hey, it is what it is. It's coming.
Oh man.
Two black men.
We can't
plain
end
story.
It. Yep.
Oh, we got a plain story. Ah.
We can't end this.
I forgot to. We got two things.
Yeah.
We got plain stories. And by the time y'all watch this, Goose's birthday would have been the day before, and my birthday would be on today when you watching this.
Sure enough.
January 26th, January 27th. Happy birthday, homie.
Appreciate it, Playboy.
Hey.
Yeah, yeah. To the plane story.
Plane stories. Flying with Goose. Look, that's what we're going to call it.
Look, I grew up.
This is great.
I grew up with guys that smoke weed. Smoke cigars, smoke cigarettes. I understand it. You got to do it. You're addicted. You can't stop. You just have to have your smoke. Okay. Listen to me though. You're not the only person that can smell that shit.
Yeah.
Okay. If you're going someplace, a wedding, a funeral, a dinner, anywhere you're going to sit down for a long period of time, it'll be courtesy. It'll be courteous of you to not smoke, turn your car into a hot box on your way to your event. Because you're going to smell like whatever you've been smoking.
Yeah.
And weed does not smell good. It's not like, this is a nice fragrance.
The fact that people confuse it with a skunk.
It smells like a skunk. oh, there's a skunk around our house.
Mm-hmm.
I never smelt a skunk. I don't even think we got them in Georgia like that. Mel was like, that's a skunk. I'm like, man, I'm thinking the next door neighbor smokes weed all day. It's a damn skunk.
Spraying something.
Bruh.
Spray something.
And sisters, look, stop doing this. So this guy, and here we go. I'm being courteous to this. Matter of fact, she got me. My seat. My seat was 12, whatever, F. I was at the window. This little lady sitting in my seat. She was like, I'm in 11, just one row up, same seat. I'm here. Do you mind? And I'm like, I'm looking.
The same seat.
It's the same seat.
Yeah, get your ass up.
Well, it's the same seat. So I'm like, I don't care. Yeah. I got my window. I'm about to go to sleep.
Yeah.
Go. The black guy in the middle, he gets up. He walks past me. I'm like, okay.
Reeking.
I'm like, nah, it ain't. It's weed. Whatever it is. Sit down. He sits down. You know, woo. All the smell come up. And I'm like, God damn. So I'm thinking I can deal with it because I've dealt with it before. Yeah. But every situation I've ever been in, I'm always able to get up and walk off.
Right.
Or whatever.
You ain't stuck in a capsule with it.
Man, this whole entire flight, this 4.5-hour flight, this smell of musk, skunk, weed, whatever it was, I could not sleep. It was just all up in, man. I got off. We got into the hotel. It was in my clothes.
Oh,
off
no.
of what he had.
Man.
So look,
off
man,
of his clothes.
Off of his clothes. You. It,
that's ridiculous.
Look, if you, man, you stink. You stink. You smoking weed, cigarettes.
Yeah.
You really do stink. I don't even know how women deal with it, wise on dudes. And they be smelling the way they be smelling.
Yeah.
That shit stinks, man. And
it
that
does,
junk
and
got under my skin so much.
It smells worse when it's coming off of somebody more than it does in the air.
Yes.
Like once it's on somebody and you smell it on that, is because it mixes with body odor in there.
Man, it smelled perfectly like a skunk. It was musty. I guess that's why they call it the loud pack,
because
it was loud and it stinks, man. Your the lady came, asked for snacks and all this. You know, I'm up. So, yeah,
right.
Let me get a snack. He said something. Breath on fire.
Ooh.
It stank, man. Stop. Be courteous. And if you're going to smoke.
Funky ass boy.
Smoke outside.
In a breeze.
Smoke outside and then go to wherever you're going to go. Whatever, man. But don't be smoking in a closed-in room and then come out like, I'm cool. now you know I smoke weed. Oh, simp ass, man. Anyway.
Yeah, that's what it is. Nah, that's one of my things. I think they should outlaw public smoking.
Outlaw literally, public smoking?
In public. When you in your goddamn car, there's no reason that I should, on my way here, have my windows down. I pull up beside you at a light in my own vehicle, and I end up smelling like your cigarette smoke.
Yeah. I don't.
Like that. And you know what they're going to do with the butt? They're going to throw it out the window. You know we got fires out here. Them seeing that, they should fine people. I hate it, dude. In public, walking into the mall, people standing out front smoking. Man, take it on somewhere.
Yeah. I had no patience. There was any and everything at that moment was going to set me off. I'm so glad he didn't bump me. Nothing happened because I was like, man, this man, use a chump, use woo.
Yeah, I had a dude at the was it at the airport or at a restaurant? I remember it was me and the family. Normally, I would ignore it. I would just bite through it. But so this dude was smoking. I can't remember if we was at a restaurant or at the airport. This is a little while ago, and something wind was blowing our way, hitting us, and I was just like, "Hey, man, you need to move downwind."
Yeah.
He's like, huh? Your smoke is hitting my family in the face. You need to move downwind.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Kept smoking as he walked past. I'm like,
if
he didn't move, I'd have had to snatch it out of his mouth, put it out on his face.
That's what I'm saying.
Like that is just such an invasion of privacy. You don't see me taking my whiskey glass and throwing whiskey in people's face.
Man.
That's literally the same thing.
It's like you sitting somewhere and somebody come and just fart right in your.
Yeah.
What?
Oh,
what? Did that? bother you?
We was at that restaurant that we used to go to down where y'all used to live. Eating on brand. And we was up there, and they have a smoking section on the balcony. Mm. That's basically, it's almost, only reason it's outdoors because the back wall is open. Mm-hmm. And we call the waitress over like, look, why is there smoking allowed up here? Like, we didn't think there was smoking because it was strong. Somebody was smoking right beside us. And no, they were smoking over in the corner, but the breeze was like blowing it right mm-hmm. over. And it's like cigarette smoke. Cigarette smoke's disgusting. You can't even smoke cigarettes at a cigar lounge. That's how disgusting cigarettes are. And she's like, oh yeah, well, it's the smoking section over there. I said, tell your manager, ask your manager if they would go to a swimming pool that had a peeing section. Mm. If you had a piss section in a swimming pool, would you go in that pool?
That's good enough.
That's literally the same thing.
Yeah.
Oh, if you got to pee, you go over to that corner and pee in the water.
Yep.
It's all the same damn water. It's all the same air. Why y'all smoking up here?
Yep.
Why do y'all allow this up here?
Mm-hmm.
I ain't been back since.
Well, I know for now on, I'm going to be a straight up Karen. Somebody sitting next to me smoking weed, I'm going to make it known. Excuse me, this guy reeks of marijuana. I need another seat. Whether it's an aisle seat, middle seat, I need to get away from this stinking individual. Yes, you stink. I got to let you know because ain't nobody done did it. And I had to sit 4.5 hours smelling this musty ass dude.
I feel you, man.
Stink, man. Stank. Anyway.
All right, fam. I told you this is going to be a full episode.
Y'all stank, man.
Hey, thank y'all for tuning in. Hopefully y'all enjoyed. I've been your host, Marcus Tanksley, a.k.a. Tank. Y'all can find me on Instagram at Marcus Ain't on the Gram, Facebook at Marcus Ain't on the Book, TikTok at Tank Don't Talk, and y'all can find my beard and body butter called Man Shit.
Mm.
All you got to do is go to manshit.com. It's manshyt.com.
All right. And you can catch Goosby at GOOLZBY on Instagram, Building with Goose on YouTube. And you can buy my merch at reppedmerch.com.
Absolutely. And if you're listening, make sure you can also go over to YouTube and go over to Tanksley TV, like, subscribe, share, and all that business. And you can watch it. And if you're watching, you can also listen it across all streaming podcast platforms, making sure you rate it and review it if you're listening.
Please, hey, please.
Happy birthday again.
Thank you. Happy birthday, sir.
Absolutely. Catch y'all next week.